Saints, thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask for your anointing and your wisdom to go forth today. We love you, Lord. We run after you and all that you are. And Lord, many people believe they have arrived. And that's a sad thing. There's always a goal. And the goal is Christ and Christ-likeness. And they don't know it, Lord. And for that reason, the backsliding of the simple shall slay them. Father, help us today to understand these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think we're going to call this Escaping the Falling Away, which is just another word for backsliding. And I want to start in Proverbs 1 and 32, which I just quoted. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay them, and the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. The careless ease. We have a problem. We have our hard drive is infected with this world and its ways and its thinking. And it has to be renewed. And I know that some people think that the beginning and the end of Christianity is to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. But as we know, those aren't even written in the Word. What is written in the Word is repent and believe, which means change your mind and believe what I say. Right? And so people think they've stepped over a magic line and they just sit down and rest in the flesh and they don't bear fruit. Without bearing fruit, we're not being born from above. You know, let's look at who spoke this backsliding of the simple shall slay them. If we go back to verse 20, it says, wisdom crieth aloud in the street. So wisdom is the one speaking here. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is Jesus speaking. He is the wisdom of God. And in John 1:1, we know he's also the Word of God. So the Word of God is the wisdom of God. And we're reading the Word of God now. And it gives you very clear directions to seek him. Not once, not just shaking a preacher's hand or anything like that, but to seek him, to put that wisdom into your heart, to protect and deliver you from this falling away. You know, they go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. And let's read on down here. She uttereth her voice in the broad places. That's the broad road where the many are, right? She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, at the entrance of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words. How long, ye simple ones? These are people who are simple to the knowledge of God. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight them in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. You know how we know people hate knowledge? Because they don't choose to seek it out. They choose the world and the worldly. And let someone just tell you how it is. Instead of seeking out their own salvation with fear and trembling, they just want to pay some preacher somewhere to give them the truth. Well, here's the truth. Many are called, but few are chosen. Here's the truth. Paul said to Timothy, who saved us and called us. You don't get called until you get saved. That's what he said. This calling is an invitation. That's what the word means. An invitation to partake of the things of the kingdom of God. And many people are not partaking of these. Although it's written in there plainly, and you can show it to them, they've been inoculated by dead religion to not believe what is spoken. And so, many are the called, and few are the chosen. Of course, when you go out into a field that you have planted, which God has, you're going to pick the fruit. You don't care about the plant. You plow the plant under. It goes back to the soil, just like the old body, right? You're looking for the fruit. Now, Jesus, in the parable of the sower, pointed out to us four different types of people. And three of the four, when they heard the good news, fell away. They were the ones, at least the last three, these were the ones that were called. Okay? But three of the four, when they heard the good news, fell away. Only one bore fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. These are the true kingdom people. If you love simplicity, just this very simple, shake a preacher's hand and you're in, go sit on a pew, wait for the rapture, blah, 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 then you're one of these fools that hates knowledge. If that's all you do, you're hating knowledge. You need to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 23 says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you." Many reject the spirit of God, the spirit of wisdom, as the way it was given in the book of Acts. "And I will make my words unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man hath regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." Verse 28. "Then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is it not? "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." It's much easier to let a preacher who's walking in the flesh tell you how easy it is to be in the kingdom, and that you really don't have to lose your life like Jesus said in order to gain your life. You don't really have to do that. That's the hard way. Just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Sit on the pew, pay your tithes, and everything will be okay. "Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices." Oh my goodness, the devices that are out there now. Eternal security is a really good one. Oh yeah, you don't have to do anything to be saved, but by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. Those who don't have good works, obviously, are not the people of God. And so they speak against works, although the Bible says just the opposite. You're going to be judged according to your works, very clearly, over and over and over. And how do we have good works? Well, first of all, we've got to put goodness in our heart. It is that wisdom of God. It is that word of God that reprograms our hard drive to think and to walk and to talk and to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. So the backsliding of the simple shall slay them. The backsliding, of course, is the falling away. That's what it means, right? "And the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell securely, and shall be quiet without fear of evil. My son," this is wisdom again speaking, Jesus Christ, "my son, if thou wilt receive my words, and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou cry after discernment, and lift up thy voice for understanding. You know, James chapter 1, if you ask the Lord for wisdom, he will give it to you. If you ask him for understanding, he will give it to you. Just don't be double-minded, but ask him and seek him. Ask him even to put it in your heart to desire it. When I first came to the Lord, a supernatural desire. I didn't have any foundation in the scripture whatsoever. But when I started reading it, a supernatural desire fell over me to seek after wisdom, seek after knowledge, find out about this God. I was lied about when I was in the Catholic Church about this God. I was lied about. I had to look in the scriptures and find out the truth. And God kept on leading me through this desire for truth. Everything else fell by the wayside. Nothing else was important. All of my hobbies that I loved moments before fell by the wayside. Because suddenly, this was the important thing. And if you don't have that gift, you need to ask God for that gift. If thou seek her as silver, and search for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. You must have the fear of the Lord. Many people hear the scriptures and totally ignore it because they don't have a fear of the Lord. And find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Yeah, 13. Whoso forsaketh the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, which is what people do, they get saved, and they continue to walk the same way they've always walked, not seeking out the knowledge and the wisdom of God, to know even what is the will of God, you know. Who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the perverseness of evil, who are crooked in their ways, and wayward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman and from the foreigner that flattereth with her words. You know, the strange woman is the harlot of Revelation. But that harlot of Revelation, chapter 17, is the mother of the harlots of the earth. All of those sects that came out of the mother are also called the harlots. Why? Because every one of those denominations received their own seed. The seed that wasn't the seed of the husband. That makes them a harlot. They received their own wisdom, their own knowledge. Yeah, the preacher gets up and gives a verse or two at the beginning, and the rest of the time it's all his knowledge and his wisdom. What is more important than the Word of God? The Word going into your heart recreates Jesus Christ in you. He is the Word. It's the Word that does this. Nothing else can do it. No moralizing can do it. You can go to church and get moralized every Sunday and maybe every Wednesday, even if you're real diligent to go after moralizing. But it won't give you the knowledge of the gospel, how that you can receive freely the nature of Jesus Christ. It won't give you that confidence that this is your gift from God, that this is the reconciliation that he gave you at the cross, took away your life, nailed it on the cross, gave you his life, and now it's no more I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. The knowledge of the gospel is being ignored. They're moralizing. There's no hope for moralizing. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even the foreigner that flattereth with her words. Yeah, come over here. We believe once saved, always saved. You won't have to do anything. Just believe. Yeah, believe that. That forsaketh the friend of her youth. You know, the one who saved you in the beginning, Jesus, the one you loved in the beginning. And now they want to give you this other Jesus and this other gospel and this other spirit. Yeah. And forgetteth the covenant of her God. Some people don't even get to know that covenant before they're led astray from the Bible and to the teachings of men. And they make of no effect the word of God by traditions, as Jesus said. There's no difference in the nature of man from the time Jesus said that until now. We must repent and believe what he says. This is how you are reprogrammed to walk the straight walk. For her house inclineth unto death. Yes, every one of those harlot houses inclineth unto death. I once knew a woman who had a dream. She said, I went to three doors and knocked on them, and every time a harlot answered the door. And the fourth time I went and knocked on your door. What do you think this means? And I saw you. What do you think this means? I said, how many religions have you belonged to? She said, three. Yeah, right. That's what I thought. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. Neither do they attain unto the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the path of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land. What do you think this land is? It's the land of God's people. It's the promised land, right? It's the land of promise. Every place you put the sole of your foot, I will give it to you. God's given us this land that we walk in, this flesh that comes from the earth, the land, to conquer it. And those Canaanites and those Hittites and those Girgashites, that's the lusts of the old man that have to be conquered to take that land for the spiritual man, Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's growing in you like a little baby, right? You must feed him. Don't feed the world. Don't feed the flesh. Feed him. Who is my mother? Jesus said, him that doeth the will of my Father. Who is it that's bringing forth Jesus Christ in their life, the fruit of Christ in their life? Those that do the will of the Father. The upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Now, why does it say that? Because there is a great falling away. As Jesus said there would be, there is a broad road, and you don't know the narrow road unless you read the wisdom of God, which is all through the Bible. But the perfect shall remain in it. A lot of people start out, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching hath not God. You see, lots of people think they know the teaching, but they're getting it second, third, fourth, fifth hand. The only way you're going to know the teaching and seek out the wisdom of God is pick it up for yourself. Don't go into a dead church and be leavened the rest of your life. He just got through saying people go there and they don't ever come out. That's right, wasting their life, never knowing the wisdom of God. The perfect shall remain in it. Perfect is a word that's also mature, you know, those that come into the image of Christ. But the wicked shall be cut off from the land. Now, he's still talking about the same people. Many are called, but few are chosen. They start out with you, but they don't finish with you. You see, they went out from among us that it might be proven that all are not of us. You see? But the wicked shall be cut off from the land. That is the land of promise. They will not know the promises. They will not live by the promises. And the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. Now this reminds us a lot of Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to read 22 and 23. It says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid and one by the free woman. Now he's exhorting here God's people not to be a son of the handmaid, but a son of the free woman. because it's going to be proven that not everyone who is a son of Abraham is chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Howbeit, the son of the handmaid is born after the flesh, but the son of the free woman is born through promise. The promise is what begets you again unto Jesus Christ in everything that he is, in all that he walks, and all that he thinks. It's the promise that does this. It is not being moralized. It's not joining a religion. The son of the free woman is born through promise. Abraham wanted so badly Ishmael to be chosen by God. And I too have wanted people to be chosen by God. And I too have sown seed in both the free woman and the handmaid. And when the sins of the handmaid begin to fall away, I cry for them, but they are manifesting who they are. But the son of the free woman is born through promise, which things contain an allegory, for these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, bearing children unto bondage, which is Hagar. See, you're either born of Hagar, and you're in bondage. Even while you're in religion, you can be in bondage. Believe it or not, the Israelites were. They were so much in bondage when Jesus came to bring them to the higher order, they couldn't come out of bondage. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Who went there? The Israelites. Well, why is he applying this to them? Because they were in bondage, and they didn't know it. And answereth to the Jerusalem that now is. That's the physical Jerusalem over there that's in bondage, for she is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. Okay, we are being born from above. Spirit, and then soul, and then body. That is, you get the body if you're born again in soul. Spirit and soul and body. When you're just saved, you have a born-again spirit. The soul is the mind and the will and the emotions, which have to walk after the spirit to receive the nature of that spirit so that you bear fruit in your soul. And of course, if you bear the fruit, you get that new body, which is the born-again body, like his body. Now, they tell you just step over the line. All you need to be is born in the Spirit. No, you haven't borne fruit yet. And the way you receive fruit immediately is you believe you have received. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you have received them. You believe you have received them. You walk by faith for them until you see them. Everything that the Lord offers will be nothing to the person that doesn't reach out and receive the promises by faith. They will not come to pass. And he tells us why. He said, because they didn't mix faith with the words. Right? For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For more are the children of the desolate than of her that hast the husband. Oh my goodness, there are many called, but few chosen. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Now we know that Ishmael has persecuted Isaac, who is Israel. He has chosen to be the persecutor. They were both born of the same father, but one turned out to be a persecutor and not having a relationship with God. You know, one of the problems in Galatians 4 is people falling under the law and not having the grace relationship with God. Still that way today. If you're falling under the law of religion, it makes no difference in the law of religion that they were under. Wrong relationship with God. You will fall away. persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, so also it is now. Howbeit, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of the handmaid. He's trying to convince them. The facts were that many of them were, because they'd fallen back under the law, a false relationship with God. He's trying to convince them of who they're supposed to be, of who they can appropriate here. Wherefore, brethren, we are not of the children of the handmaid, but of the free woman. For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. And he goes on to talk about falling under the law. Back where we were, the upright shall dwell in the land, the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the land. Yes, obviously the Ishmaelites are being cut off from the land of promise. They've bought a lie in their religion, and so have a lot of people also bought lies in their religion and have been cut off from the land of promise. Oh, the opportunities of reading God's Word and appropriating everything that's been given unto us. That's what called means. It's an invitation to partake of all those promises. And chapter 4 and verse 4 says, And he taught me and said unto me, Let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. How are you going to continue to live? By studying, keeping his commandments, delighting in his commandments, delighting in being pleasing unto him. Jesus said, He that loves me will keep my commandments. You don't love him if you're keeping the commandments of men. Men make it easy for the old man to live. They don't want to lose their old life. They don't like the crucified life that comes with loving the commandments of God. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't forget. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forsake her not, and she will preserve thee. Love her, and she will keep thee. Keep thee. Keep thee from falling away. Wisdom is the principal thing. The principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Yea, with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse 20, My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life. They are life. Some people think that eternal life is something that God put in our hand and he can't take it back. But 1 John says that life is in the Son. You see, he didn't put anything in your hand. He gave eternal life to be in the Son. Abiding in the Son is where we have eternal life. It says, For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Oh my gosh, how many times have I had an opportunity to die and passed it up because I knew what the Word of God said, I knew what the covenant was, and I didn't depart from it? I was tested. God tests us. I was tested. But I passed up my opportunity to die and continue to bear fruit. You see, if you die too soon, you don't bear the fruit you could have if you continued on, right? And of course, many people don't even know of this opportunity that we're not under the curse, that Jesus is our Passover lamb, and that the destroyer was meant to pass over us and take out the Egyptians. Oh my God, so many people are passing up the calling. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. The issues of life. Life comes out of your heart. You put it in there. Like the parable of the sower. You put it in there. And you'll be reprogrammed. Well, let's look at the parable of the sower. Matthew 13. I think I'm going to start in verse 10. Be patient. I'm not going to go fast. I want you to understand that you are in danger. And the only place you have safety is in Him. If 3 out of every 4 people who hear the gospel fall away from it, you are in danger. You need to keep on putting the wisdom of God in your life. It will preserve thee, the Bible says. It will save thee. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Them was who? Them was, of course, the Jews who had first the covenant. Jesus said, I have not been sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And by the way, the things that have been are the things that shall be. Once again, a man-child is coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But who is Israel now? It's the people who have the covenant now. That's right. And who? And they are what? They are the ones who are circumcised in heart, Paul said in Romans chapter 2. Not those who are circumcised in flesh. The ones who seek the born-again experience, not just in spirit, but in soul, and ultimately in body. These are the ones who are on the path, the narrow path, unto eternal life. And by the way, even when you start on that path, if you start in faith, faith is accounted as righteousness. So therefore, even when you start on that path, as long as you stay on that path, you are assured of eternal life. Not because you have manifested it, but because you're walking by faith for it. We'll look at that a little later. But he said, why do you speak to them in parables? Of course, they wanted their brethren, the Jews, to be saved. They wanted them to understand. Make it simple for them, Jesus, like the preachers do. And he answered and said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Oh my goodness. That sounds like a reprobation at the beginning of the man-child's ministry. Now we've got the man-child ministry coming again, this time to the church. And guess what? We have the same situation. They cannot hear. They've been inoculated against the truth. They cannot understand. He speaks in parables, and they don't understand it. And he won't speak to many of them in any other way. The Bible says he took his disciples aside privately and explained to them all things. Disciples are not these people. A disciple is a mathetes, a learner and a follower. A learner and a follower. They study in the Master. They study in the Master to walk in His steps. Let everyone that says they abide in Him walk as He walked. He is our demonstration of what Christianity is. Not the preachers in the fancy suits. Okay? It is to walk as He walked. Exactly. His gift, His works, everything. It's a free gift from God, by the way. But you have to receive it by promise. You see that the Bible promises you Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He's able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto Him. It means completely. Save completely. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. He shall have in abundance. Whosoever hath what? Understanding? Fruit of what they have received. You You see, if we walk in the light, he puts more light in our pathway. Okay? And to him shall be given whosoever hath. That is, who has been given this fruit, who has given this understanding, shall have an abundance. He's walking in it, therefore he deserves more of it. No use in putting more light out in front of somebody that's not going to walk in it. They're just going to be condemned that much more, right? So he gives you a little light, you walk in that. He gives you more light, you walk in that. The path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a lamp unto my feet to show me where I stand. We need to know that. Some people totally deny where they stand. They're in total denial. These people act like they're perfect already. They've already arrived by some magic words that they spoke or something that they did, you know. But it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He, if you know where you are, he can show you where to go, right? But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Well, Jesus gave a parable like that. Take it away from the one and give it to the one that has 10. They said, but he has 10. They didn't understand God, did they? But the one buried it in the earth. He didn't do anything with the gift that God gave him. And a lot of people are like that. We're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ and walk in his steps. They wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. They've never been taught that they even needed to, or that they had an opportunity to. So, because they bear no fruit, and God is born with them, and they haven't borne fruit, and they haven't sought wisdom, he reprobates them. From him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, so they got eyes to see, but not spiritual eyes to see, right? How do you get spiritual eyes to see? You have to come to know the one who wrote the book. That's how you get spiritual eyes to see. And that's how you get spiritual ears to hear. Because you will only hear his voice, as Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They leave out that part, right? My sheep know my voice. They follow me. Seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. So now we know what perception is. And what understanding is. For this people's heart is waxed gross. This he's talking about his people here. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Even today, there is the lost sheep of the house of the church. Because they've lost the path. They don't know the way. And they don't even know that the end of that way is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And they don't even know that the procession that leads up to that point is Christ increasingly growing in you like a baby in the womb. Who is my mother? Those that do the will of my Father. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. They're afraid to know the truth. It would make them responsible to know the truth. It's easier just to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Now, I'm not saying that can't be a beginning, if there was a repentance involved. Otherwise, you're just filling a church pew and going to find out your deception further down the road. And should turn again, and I should heal them. Oh my, God really wants to heal us. We're sick in more ways than one. He wants to heal us spiritually, physically, and every other way. These are the benefits of the kingdom. It is for the called, the invited. When you get saved, you get invited. When you get saved in spirit, in your spirit, you get a new spirit from God, according to what the Scripture says, a born-again spirit. Now you are invited to partake of the benefits of the kingdom, because now you are a kingdom person. The world doesn't have this calling. This calling is not say, hey, come to Jesus. No, you who saved them and called them. You get saved, and then you get this invitation to partake of the kingdom. In Israel, the Israelite had the benefits of the kingdom. The pagans did not. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. Now he's talking to his disciples. And your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which ye see. Oh gosh, that's why it's called the good news. The good news. They had to struggle to find out every jot and tittle of the law and keep it, or slay a lamb. Well, our lamb was slain. The good news is that what God gives us is a free gift. Oh, praises to his holy name, right? Well, they desired to see the things which ye see, and saw them not, and to hear the things which ye hear, and heard them not. Hear then, ye, the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, who did he just got through saying did not understand it? Well, it was his people, according to the old covenant. May I say that the man-child ministry that is coming is going to renew a call to the true gospel, which many of the people have never heard, and they would rather stick to their religion because it's easy, it doesn't demand them anything, all they got to do is come and pay their tithes, and they just go right into the kingdom. Baloney. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. I've seen this happen. Tell God's people, hey, this is the good news. And they would rather go because it doesn't demand anything from them, back to their religion. Yeah. This is he that was sown by the wayside. Not much of a chance to bear any fruit there, right? And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word, and straightway with joy receiveth it. You run across these people too. They're happy. It's a good news. It really is. With joy they receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. There it is, the falling away. And here's somebody that in the beginning, they received it with joy, but they didn't give it much root in self. You know what I'm talking about? You know, when a root goes down in the dirt, it really displaces the dirt, right? It takes the nutrients out of that position of being in the dirt, and it grows into a wonderful plant. It's taking the good things out, you see, and using that to grow into a wonderful plant. But if you don't give good root to the Word of God in your life, really expect it to displace what your old life was, then you're not going to bear fruit. You're not going to bear a decent-looking plant, and you're not going to bear fruit either. You're going to stumble because you don't have enough root to keep you in the hard times and in the persecutions and in the tribulations. You begin to be an unbeliever that this wonderful life that they've always told you you're going to have because you accept Jesus as your personal Savior doesn't come, because you're not giving up your life in order to receive your life. The dirt has to give up something in order for the plant to live. Otherwise, it just jumps up real fast, looks real good, and then dies real quick. Verse 22, and he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that hears the word, So he hears the word. He accepts the word. He believes the word. He's not like these others in the very beginning who did not have ears to hear. He hears the word. And the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Well, you know, the riches of the world, which most Americans compared to the rest of the world have, actually, the riches of the world give you great opportunity for sin. Have you ever heard of jailhouse religion? It's when people are in there, they've got nothing, they got no hope of having nothing, and so Jesus is given to them, and they with joy receive that, you know. But as soon as they're free, they have every opportunity to go back to their sins, and these seem more important to them than the wisdom that they received when they were in jail. You see, no opportunity to sin is not a proof that you are an overcomer. The proof that you are an overcomer is when you're released out into the world and you choose God rather than sin. And by the way, if you read the letters to the churches, there is no promise to anybody that is not an overcomer. No promise. And what you received in the beginning, you can still become twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Right? And he becometh unfruitful. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that hears the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So they become good ground, as one of the other gospels points out, I believe it was Luke. They become good ground to the seed. The seed is happy. The seed is made happy in that ground because it's good ground. And it puts forth roots deep, deep. And the heat of the sun doesn't bother it. In other words, the persecution doesn't bother it. And it loves this new life. And it bears fruit. And this is the only one chosen out of the four. Believe it or not, in the church, there are all these four. And, of course, some of them believe that they're saved, but they believe that they're saved for the wrong reasons. And or even if they believe that they're saved for the right reasons, they're not doing what they were put there to do. You know, I've baptized people, and I always tell them, when you get baptized, you're going down in this water. You're becoming united with Christ in the likeness of his death and his burial and his resurrection. But the thing you're buried in is the water of the Word. You see, you go down in that and you're buried with Christ. You're united with him in the likeness of his death. And you also become benefited by his resurrection. Okay, Romans chapter 6. So he tells you to reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. That's faith, you see. You're not looking in the mirror and seeing yourself. You're looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We all with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. You see, that's the gospel. Keeping your eyes on the gospel, the good news, the promise that begets you unto God, you see, the promise. Keeping your eyes on that. Getting your eyes off the things of the world and the distractions of the world and the persecution of the world and the lures of the deceitfulness of riches. So are you spending time with Jesus or are you loving the world? The proof is in the pudding, right? If you spend all your time with the world and you are distracted from the wisdom of God, you don't love him and you won't last either. You're not taking root. You just will not last, I can tell you. You must repent and believe and become a disciple of Jesus, a studier of who he is and what he expects of us you see, and what he has given us as a gift, a free gift from God. Oh, it's awesome, folks. The people that study the Word for themselves, they don't trust in any man, how they outgrow people around them who started into the kingdom the same time as them, but had no interest in, you know, putting the seed in their heart. In the parable of the sower, the seed, which is the Word of God, was put into the heart of men. And those that gave it good ground bore fruit, as it is today. And this parable is true for us today. There is a falling away of those who have been God's people. Even now, they have no heart for the truth. They think they got all they needed from their legalistic religion, and that's all they need. Wrong. There's only one seed that can bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. It's the seed of the Word. The seed of man's religion will not bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, if you just go and look at those people, they begin to look like the preacher, but they don't begin to look like Jesus Christ. Each seed brings forth after its own kind. There's only one seed that can bring forth the seed, the life and the nature of Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. He's the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so, it is the Word. It is the wisdom of God that causes us to be able to partake of all the benefits of the kingdom of God. And I'm going to go down to verse 40 here. It says, as therefore the tares are gathered up. Now you know what tares are. They, in this case, they grew together with the wheat. And you really can't tell them until the time of bearing fruit. Now you can say, well, I got fruit, you know. Well, do you look like Jesus Christ? Are you walking in his steps? You see. Do you believe in his ministry today? Or have you thrown all that out the window like your religion did? No, you're not walking in his steps unless you're walking in his steps, the steps that he made in this book. He hasn't changed. It was an eternal gospel when he gave it. It's still there. Men have changed it. Men have made you glorify men and religions rather than Christ. It's the same thing as what happened to Jesus. None of the denominations accepted him when he came. None of them did. People came out of them. That's why he called them the church. They came out from them and followed him. Today, the people who come out from them and follow him, these are the disciples. And they are called the church, the called out ones. None of the denominations of Judaism accepted Jesus or believed in him. They were jealous of him and killed him. So it is today. If you come out and you receive the life of Christ, they will persecute you. They don't like Jesus. They are, whether they know it or not, haters of the true God. Therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire. So shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Now that's a falling away. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. So there are many out there that cause stumbling because they don't follow the Lord or have his same heart for the people. There are many that cause stumbling and that do iniquity. They don't know that the gospel was meant to deliver us from iniquity and that the blood washes us clean from iniquity. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Oh yes, there is a furnace of fire coming. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear. Shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Well, you see, God is not only sanctifying individuals, He's sanctifying a body. He said, let these grow together. You know, the workers wanted to root up the tares. He said, no, let them grow together until the end, lest you root up the wheat with the tares. Let them grow together. But then, in the time of the end, He plucks up the tares first and gathers them together to burn them. And then the wheat shines forth in the kingdom of their Father, because God has sanctified a body, which is what the Lord is doing now. He is sanctifying a body of people. And He is now, more than ever that I have seen in my 40-something years, separating people who continue in their sins. He does not want leaven to leaven the whole lump. It's a time for sanctifying the body. He is doing this now. I proclaim it to you. He is doing this now. And He will be up until the physical end. He wants a holy body. He doesn't want people in there that will pervert you when you come into the kingdom. He doesn't want people in there that will not tell you the truth when you come into the kingdom. They immediately speak a lie to you about who He is and what He does and what He expects of you. Yes, the Lord is plucking them up. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Well, Father, we ask You in Jesus' name that You would grant us understanding of what You have called repent and believe. And not the pabulum that is fed to people in the churches, Lord. We ask, Lord, that You give us understanding of the necessity of repenting and believing just what You say. Because this is the only way of life, it's the only way of safety, it's the only way of preservation, which You said You gave to those who sought out wisdom. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name, Father. We'll take up where we left off here next time. All right, God bless you, saints. We'll do this again. I'm going to start up right here where we left off next time in Jesus' name.